John Nagle is our next speaker, who brings a wealth of experience over many years in private and public sector management in this area. He's currently Group Executive of Workers Insurance at iCare, Insurance and Care New South Wales, which is the insurance and care services provider in that state, and provides insurance and care for 3.4 million workers, motorists and builders, and over nearly 300,000 employees. In his multi-decade career, he's had many executive posts, including Executive Director of Insurance Operations at WorkCover Insurance, Chief Executive of Lumley Insurance, Executive General Manager for Corporate and Specialty Insurance at Suncorp, and COO at Retail at Vero. Please welcome John Nagle.
And thank you to the Institute as well for having me today. Oh, okay. Change, challenge and opportunity. Let's see if I can get the system to work. So basically, what do we start with? We had a system that was designed to be adversarial and process driven. As we say, it wasn't broken. The fundamentals actually worked quite well. Most return to work was within 13 weeks. Within 26 weeks, we had about 90% of people back to work. We had lots of noise, lots of anecdotal commentary, and very few facts. In fact, even as late as last week, you can still go to forums in New South Wales and make outrageous claims with very little facts backing you up. And it's, I think one of the biggest challenges we have across all of the schemes is, what is the story that we're telling? So what do? We moved to the global standard. We moved to Net Promoter Score. And over the last 18 months, we've had over 200,000 invitations go out to employers, injured workers, providers. We have 159 dashboards. There's very little that's happening across the scheme that we don't have the opportunity to tap into and get immediate feedback on. So what we get is a daily update on what is occurring across the scheme. And more importantly, we get on top of those issues where you have harm or self-harm comments being made, where you have an outcome that's quite perverse, and somebody's telling you about it in language that you can't ignore. And our scheme agents now have to turn around within 24 hours, make contact, and get that matter addressed. And if you look down at the bottom here, customer service issues. We've had audits galore across the scheme for many years. But fundamentally, unless you really dig deep, you quite often won't see what's happening underneath. Armed with the feedback and the commentary that we have from Net Promoter Score, we know where to go to look. And so in 2016, for instance, none of the scheme agents passed their underwriting audits. Not by a margin, it was zero. So straight away, the feedback we'd been getting from employers that the service level they were getting was very poor was validated. And because we had the names and because we had the detail, we could look precisely as we went forward. And if you look at, the commentary, some workers struggle through the system. The biggest issue that injured workers talk about is lack of support from scheme agent or their employer. If you look at the process-driven agents, quite often it's process-driven around remuneration, not an outcome. So the common themes, are both from employer and worker. Better communication. They want clear, concise and empathetic communication. They don't want dogma. We've had an experience, a young actuary, in fact, who was injured at work. She received a 12-page letter. There wasn't one shred of empathy or support for her in that letter. It actually caused her to cry. And the only reason she got round it is she actually was able to walk round the corner and talk to the actuaries that work in the scheme and say, what does this mean? And they managed to give her the support that she needed. So, that's a well-educated young lady. How's that being impacted across, people of lower social economic backgrounds? Better customer service. Again, we had one agent who was surprised at the poor reception they were getting until they went and checked their telephone service to find it hadn't been working for 3 months. So customers were on an endless loop on a callback. Faster claims processing times, inherent delays built around process. Faster response times, the churn that people are looking for when their case manager changes. And if you look at greater employer control, the opposite from injured workers is greater employer support. So a real disconnect between what employers think they're doing and what injured workers are receiving. So that feedback has led us to 180 customer-focused initiatives. And we track every single one of those, and you'll see shortly the improvements it's making. So it's enabled us to do a number of things. Yeah? First and foremost, you'll see that, and this is October, we can split it up by the size of employer. We can also look and say by agent who's improving. If you go back to the original scores that were on a couple of slides, that's a significant improvement in every case. Also means that our remuneration to agents is being focused as well. We're paying for what makes a difference. You know, we're not just paying base rem and hoping everything will get better. David Bowen mentioned that supplier pressure is one of the factors across the scheme. We've recently completed audits on rehab providers, a very large percentage of our spend, and what we found is 65% of them have no return to work activity. They have activity, mainly to get it off the case manager's desk. It's not actually focused on anything that's going to help the return to work. And that's a significant spend across the scheme. So again, we believe in rehabilitation, but we believe in effective rehabilitation. So we have to work with that industry and say what actually makes a difference. What will actually give a return? So, you know, the whole focus has been what are the changes across the system that make a difference? So effectively, where are we headed? Basically, we're saying that the current system has to change to an empowered model. And by empowered, we mean empowered for employer and injured worker. You know, employers feel disconnected from the system, they lodge a claim, it goes out of their hands. Injured workers struggle through the system, don't get the support that they need. So the customer lens is both, employer and worker. But it's also, as I say, split up between the different needs. An SME employer generally has one claim every 9 years. You know, they're so busy just running their business, all they want to have happen is for that claim to go away. They don't have time or energy to put into it. And they're scared of it. Scared of it becoming something that goes out of their control. Scared of it because quite often the person who's been injured in SME is a family friend or a family member. And then you have all the personal interrelationships that go with that. Medium employers are probably our biggest problem children. You know, I think it's the same universally across insurance. Once you grow to a certain size, you try and do too much. You don't have enough money to put into the right systems, but you don't have enough time or energy to hire the right people. So you actually get in the world of pain. I think if you look at property, liability, motor vehicle insurance, you name it, medium-sized employers are the biggest drivers of claims. Large and corporate employers, on the other hand, have everything set up. You know, they've got a system that works. They just have large volume of claims because they have large employer groups. So it's different needs, support and capability. And if you look at regional and metro, you know, quite often the scenario is a little bit different. In a regional area, we thought our return to work outcomes would be worse. The reality is they're not. They get more support from the community than people in the metro region. There's just less opportunity in a regional area. So what are we moving to? Basically, we've come to the conclusion that we need to get out of the way. You know, the analysis shows us that 75% of our claims can be automated or partially automated. We can reduce the frictional cost of actually running the system. If you say that 75% is our starting figure, our question is where will we end up? Our initial target is 80%. When we opened our underwriting platform earlier this year, our expectation is about 30% of employees would want to transact online. From day one it was 78%, and it's consistently stayed between 78 and 83% ever since we launched in February. So the demand is there, we've just got to deliver the services. And then if you look at the other categories beyond our empower and guide models, and I'll talk about those a little bit more, you know, 18% require real support. But it's 18% of support on claims that we know about. We can understand what's happening, we can focus the right energies, the right responses and the right plans for those people. 7% are specialised, and by specialised we're talking mental health, fatalities. Mental health claims are on the rise. You know, I think it's not a unique phenomenon in Australia, it's a global phenomenon. The reality is, I think the numbers that we've seen out of UK, about 11 to 17% of claims over the last decade and increasing. Now, you can hypothesise what that is. Is it a more anxious society? Is it actually a lack of resilience in the workforce coming forward? We're not certain, but the reality is it's there. And we actually had the Shop Assistance Union come and see us recently, and their numbers have articulated that in the last 3 years, the increase in abuse of shop assistants has increased dramatically. Now, they've got a number of hypotheses about it, mainly built around greater anxiety, lack of courtesy, social change. But if you actually put it into your terms, and if you've got a brother or a sister or a child who's working at Macca's or working in a shop front and they're being abused by the person sitting next to you today, how would you feel? So it's not actually a problem we can solve, it's a societal problem. All we can do is actually point it out and then work across society to come up to some of these solutions. So the model is actually to look at these areas. That's where the money's spent, that's where the problems are. Identify it early, get the right resources there. And we'll do that primarily by starting the claim off in the right space. This is a pretty simple illustration. So what we say is once the claim is lodged, and 97% of claims are lodged by employers, you know, we ask five standard psychosocial questions. One of the key ones of the employer is there a barrier for this person returning to work? Is there something in the claim that you don't like? Very interesting, when we asked employers that question, most of them didn't want a black and white question. Yeah? So we said, do you accept this claim? They didn't like that question. They wanted something softer, because they're thinking about the industrial issue if somebody asked to see that answer. So we've now come down to a different question. And the question is, are there any barriers? And it's their chance to say, you know, is this a weekend claim or is this some other kind of problem in the claim that they want us to investigate? It's also their opportunity to say there's some other issue with this employee that they want us to investigate. And then we ask some other questions of the employer as well about how that employee has worked for them. And then that gives us a framework about how the relationship between employer and employee is actually going. Then we ask the same questions, but slightly differently, to the employee. Because the greatest barrier in the more difficult claims is actually an industrial dispute. It's not actually the injury. The biggest barrier we have getting people to return to work who have been off work for some time is they're not welcome back, they have a stigma about workers' compensation, or the employer doesn't want to take the risk bringing them back. Or conversely, they've sat there and they've fallen into a secondary psychological issue where they're blaming the employer for the injury. Somebody injured me. And so if we can identify those areas through these psychosocial questions, we can get the right support to them straight away, try and work through those issues very quickly. We also then look at the predictive analytics. So, you know, we've used our historical database. We've looked at about 800,000 claims. I think we're up to about 80% accuracy at the moment on the triage engine that we're using. But that predictive analytics then ties into the ODG, the Official Disability Guidelines. That's a global best practice that will continue to Australianise as we put more data into it. So at the moment, we've sent them 800,000 de-identified claims. They've changed their basically American model to Australianise it for us. But what it's telling us is what's the best form of treatment for this type of case. And that may not be medical treatment. That treatment may be anything that's worked previously on their global database that's actually returned someone to work. And one of the things that we're trialling at the moment is GP social prescribing, whereas somebody who's been off work for some time struggles to get back into the community. Maybe a way to start them is let them go to an art class, encourage them to go and get back into the community, try something new. We've tried it in a small pilot recently. Some of the feedback is many of them are very scared to do it because they think the scheme agent's watching them and it'll be counted that they're ready for work. So they don't want to give it a try. And I think that's quite sad. Pretty crushing indictment about our society. So once we actually have the predictive analytics and the psychosocial questions and we've got them into the right area, you know, that's the start. That's at the lodgement point. But a claim can go on for some time. So it's a continuous refinement. You know, every piece of information we get will be checked against where we've actually put that claim. And we've basically made a decision that you can't go down. So if you go into one of our support models or our care models, at the start, you stay there, even if you actually improve, so that we make sure that we've got our hands around you. Equally, in the Empower and Guide model, most of them are over and done with in less than 2 weeks. 45% of our claims are medical only, no lost time. Yet at the moment, they go through the same 12-week process. So an example, and my apologies to any Brian Nottle, who was born in 1958 and lives in Port Macquarie. Just a name we came up with for some reason. But effectively, you know, this is an example where five risk factors have come through. Firstly, his age, 59. There are certain cities in New South Wales where if you're over 55 and you have anything more than a couple of days off work, you're not going to return to work. And again, that's not something we necessarily can answer. That is a societal issue that we have to address with that city or that region. The reporting delay, so a delay of over 28 days is an absolute red flag. It means that there's something wrong straight away with the employer and the injured worker, that there'd be that kind of delay. Because our data is showing us that if you're off work for more than 21 days, the chances of a secondary psychological claim are about 100%. So straight away that person's been off work, potentially employer hasn't reported it, they've been sitting at home blaming someone for the injury. So it's a problem straight away. Second problem, he's male. Older worker, probably the injury potentially is a cumulative injury, been working through his lifetime. Even a soft tissue injury, the reality is very difficult to get back to work. Finally, the workplace region, Port Macquarie. Very poor return to work. And then the distance between work and home, 470 km, a bit of an exaggeration, but it is actually an impact for many injured workers. And something that's quite often overlooked. So this is a 2009 study. It says 45 days off work. We now believe it's 21 days. And we'll be doing some more studies to try and evidence that a bit more clearly. But if 21 days and there are delays in terms of reporting the claim and delays in getting treatment, your window is pretty narrow. Hence the new model, which is designed to speed up the whole system. And then if you look at the broader range of risk factors that our triage engine looks at, you know, workplace conflict, as I say, the most common cause of return to work delay. Straight away, if an employer is saying that this worker is a problem, we have a problem. It doesn't matter if we can get the injury right, we can't get them back to work, which means our aim should be actually getting them to return to work somewhere else. Support at home. You know, this is a growing issue with two-income families. If one of those incomes disappears or is reduced dramatically for a period, the pressure on that other partner grows dramatically. And yet it's quite often overlooked. Support for family is very ill-defined across the scheme. And yet a lot of the feedback we get is the pressure that goes onto the other partner. You know, it's quite easy to think somebody's at home being looked after by their family. Well, the family's got a life as well. They are also trying to keep that life going, and the impact onto that whole family can be quite dramatic. So once we look at the broader range of risk factors, you know, we clearly start looking at artificial intelligence, something I'm always keen to talk to our actuaries about. And basically, though, we're saying it's not just about data. It's actually about supporting case managers. Case managers have an incredibly difficult job on long-tail claims. You know, they're quite often very complex. There's a range of factors that go into them. You know, if they're open for 5 or 6 years, that a variety of, you know, tactics and strategies that have been tried previously get lost in the mists of time. Artificial intelligence can support a case manager not only just through language and the options that are available and the history of the claim file, suggesting the next action that could work, but suggesting it against the database of all our claims, not just that claim. So an exciting new world for us. We're looking forward to it. Starts on the 1st of January. And, you know, it basically comes down to, when you talk about the change, challenge and opportunity, it's to focus on outcomes and not process. Thank you.